Okay, today's daf Shabbat, daf Pei. We're at the bottom, very bottom of daf Ayin Tet Amud Bet at Diok De Lichtov. So enough ink in order to write two letters. Tana Shtei Otiot. Tana Shtei Otiot B'Dio, Shtei Otiot B'Kulmos, Shtei Otiot B'Kalmarin. So we said that you're chayv for taking out the amount of ink that could write two letters. Alternatively, the amount of ink that's in a quill, you'd be chayav freaking out if that amount of ink can write two letters, or the bottle of ink itself, if it could write two letters, you'd be chayav. Ba'i rava ot achat b'dio, ot achat b'kumos, ve'ot achat b'kalmarin, mahu. So what if you had enough in each one of those things to write one letter, but an insufficient amount in any one of those things to write two? Teku. So let's leave the question unresolved. Amar rava hoti shtei otiot ve'chatva nekshuhu mahalech. Chayav. So if you took out enough ink to write two letters and you wrote two letters while you were walking, you'd be chayav, right? And the problem there, the question, the reason that's not obvious is because what about hanacha, right? We said in order to be chayav for hotzah, for transferring reshut, you have to pick it up in a private domain and place it down in a public domain, k'tivatan zoi hanachatan. But writing it constitutes its hanacha, constitutes its placing it down in a different domain. Va'amar rava hotzi ot achat, mechazav hotzi ot achat, ve'chatva pater. And if you took out enough to write one letter, and then you took out enough to write another letter, then you're putter. What's the reason that you would be putter? You know, seemingly, ultimately, you did take out two, did you not? No, because at the time that you wrote the second, that you took out the second one, the first one no longer had its same amount of shiur, because once you write the letter, the ink starts to dry, and it actually has less, meaning the ink on paper is less than the amount of ink you would have needed to write it, because it dries, and there's a little bit less of it than when you started. Amar Rava, hoti chatzi grugeret echad veheinicha. Similarly, just another thing that has to do with taking out half and then another half is that according to Rava, if you take out half a grugeret, half a dried fig, and then you put it down and you take out another half a dried fig, so we see the first one as unrelated to the second one, right? We see it as if it had been taken away by a dog or burnt, meaning it doesn't exist anymore. It's no longer a relevant factor. You took out half, you weren't chayv. You took out another half, you weren't chayv. Why exactly do we see them as not being mitzdara? If you took it out, you put it down, took it out another one, and you put it down. Seemingly that's chayav. Hachikamar im kadam vehigbia rishona kodem hanach shenia anasi rishona kamisha negel klata od nisrafa opater. Rather, we said like this: if you pick up the second one before you put down, you pick up the first one before you put down the second one, such that they were never both put down at the same time, that is when we see it as if a dog took it away or if it's burnt, meaning it's not relevant, it's not a factor in your hatzah, because you didn't have them both resting at the same time. The Amar Rava hotzi chatzi gugeret v'hindicha v'chazav hotzi chatzi gugeret v'hevara derech aleha chayef. Right. So if you similarly, if you took out half a grugeret, half a dried fig, and then you took out another half a dried fig, and you passed the second one over the first one, that's going to be chayev. Ve'amai halonach. Wait, why would that be chayev? Because the second one never had a hanacha. It was never put down. In which case, you really only transferred one thing properly. Kigon she'evira toch shlosha. Right, because you passed it over within three tfachim of the ground. We said that three tfachim within the ground is considered on the ground. That's not a halachically significant space. Ve'amai rava. But didn't Rava say that according to the Rabbanon, just being within 3 foot tefachim of the ground is not enough? You actually need a proper hanacha. In which case, why would Rava believe that once you pass the one dried fig over the other dried fig, it's like it's on the ground? If just being within 3 tefachim is not enough, lokasha kam dezorek kam mavir. Right, where the Rabbanon said that's when you threw it. If you threw it over it and it passes through and it doesn't land on the ground, okay, so that needs a hanacha because zorek is not enough. However, if you're walking with it, it's a difference as opposed to if you throw it and it's not connected to anything, but if you're holding it and walking it, it's connected to you walking on the ground, right? That can be acquired by the ground within 3 tefachim. Tanur Rabbanan, hotzi chatzi gugeret v'chazer v'hotzi chatzi gugeret behelam echad chay b'shtei halamad pater. Right, so took out half a dried fig, you took out another half a dried fig in one lapse of knowledge of your wrongdoing, so that's going to be chayiv. However, it's two different lapses of knowledge, they constitute two different actions, you're going to be pater because you didn't do a full iser in either one of those lapses of knowledge. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Behelam Echad L'Reshut Echad Chayev. Rabbi Yossi says, Davka, if it's Behelam Echad, to the same Reshut, you're going to be Chayev. But So if you're in one lapse of knowledge of your wrongdoing, but you took out half a dried fig to two different reshuyot, two different domains, and so you never brought one full thing out to from one domain to another, thing to be pater. That's davka, by the way. When do we say that those are two different reshuyot for the purposes of making you pater for bringing half a dried fig into each one of them, as opposed to making you chayev? It's only if the space between those two reshuyot is a halachically significant space, meaning that has to be a space which in and of itself would be mechayev you a korban chatat if you rested something in there, because it's halachically significant. But if it's a karmelite, right, the rabbanon, it's not a reshut rabim, it's not a reshut rabim, only the rabbanon is a rabim, so it's not really a halachically significant area, and that's not enough to actually split those two reshuyot. So if you brought a half dried fig to one reshut, another half dried fig to another reshut, and the only thing separating these two is a karmelite, which is not a halachically significant space on a deraita level, then you're going to be chayev, because we consider it really to be one large space for the in order to be mechayev you. Abaye amar afilo karmelit aval pisla lo. So according to Abaye, no, even if there's a karmelit in the middle, that's two different reshuyot. However, if there's just a wooden block in the middle, that's going to be that's not enough to separate it, and then you're going to be chayev. Rava amar afilo pisla. Rava says even if there's a wooden brick in between, that's going to separate into two different reshuyot, and you're not going to be chayev. Vaz Rava latamai and Rava holds like his shita elsewhere when he says that the reshuyot of Shabbat, the domains of Shabbat, are the same as domains for gittin, right? For gittin, a man could give his wife a get by putting it in her hand or by putting it in her reshut, right? In property that she owns. So if he lends her a field and puts it in that field, then she acquires that the get and she's divorced. The question is, well, what if, you know, he puts it onto a wooden block within that reshut? Does that count as if the reshut is acquiring it? Does that count that the reshut, that wooden block constitutes its own reshut? According to Rava, wooden block does constitute its own reshut in order not to acquire the get, and therefore the wooden block also here constitutes its own reshut in separating the two domains. Right? So blue eye paint in order to paint one eye. Ayin echad haylo kachli. But women don't paint one eye. Women paint both eyes. Amar Rav Huna shekein tnur kachod ayin echad. Right? So there were certain women who, out of modesty, would cover their faces, but they would have to leave one eye uncovered, obviously, in order to see, and so those women would only paint one eye. Meitive Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Kichol Im Kedei Lerefua Lichol Ayin Achad Im Lekashet B'Shtei Enav. So, but we can challenge that from the following. That regarding the chiyuv that exists by blue eye paint, if it's for the purposes of refuah, then you're chayav for one eye. If it's purposes of decoration, then you're chayav for both eyes, right? So clearly, if it's for decoration, you're only chayav if you did it for both eyes. Not what we just said, that you'd be chayav even for one eye. Tirgama Hillel Berei de Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Ki Etanya Hu Beiranit. Right. So that's what we're talking about, village women who wouldn't practice covering their faces at all. And so it wouldn't none of them would ever just paint one eye. So there, that's why two eyes is how much you need to be chayav. Shava k'delitain al pi nekev. So we set enough wax in order to put on the opening of a hole. Tana k'delitain al pi nekev katan shel yayin. Right, and what hole we're talking about? We're talking about a hole in a barrel in order to seal the barrel. Deva k'delitain v'rosh hashaf shaf. Right, and enough glue to put on the edge on the edge of a wooden board. Tana k'delitain v'rosh hashaf shaf. Shibrosh kana shel tzaidin, right? So what exactly are we talking about here? I think, by the way, I didn't explain this properly when we originally came across it in the Mishnah. What we're talking about is bird traps, right? Putting the glue on the edge of the bird trap, and that's how they catch the birds. Zefet begafrik de la sot nekev, right? So enough sulfur or tar in order to create a small hole. Kedei lasot nekev tana, kedei lasot nekev katan. Right. So the Braita elaborated that we were trying to create a small hole, using it to create a small hole inside of a bottle of some sort. Charasid kedei lasot pikur. Right. So enough crushed brick in order to cover up this the small hole of the gold refiner's tools. Lemaim b'tishur the Rabbi Yehuda nafish, right? But does that suggest that Rabbi Yehuda's shiurim are bigger? Because Rabbi Yehuda's had enough crushed brick to make the tripod. Seemingly, there's a lot more crushed brick necessary for making the tripod than for just covering up the tool of the gold refiner. That would make it sound like Rabbi Yehuda requires a greater shiur, meaning he's more makil. Hakaimelan de shiura de Rabbanan nafish. But earlier we said, or we have an established position that the Rabbanan have larger shiurim and therefore make a more makeable position. It's not, and we learned in a mission of Rabbi Yehuda Omar Kedelito Lahemena Midat Mina Alakatan. Right, so the Rabbi Yehuda said enough rope in order to measure, or enough string in order to measure a in order to measure a child's foot, but the rabbis required enough to be able to create a loop for hanging a sieve on, right? In which case, the rabbis seem to require more. Here do we seem to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda requires more? We assume there's a general shita in terms of who's more machmir and who's more mekil. Assume that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is not in order to build the tripod itself, but just in order to fix the cracks that exist in the tripod. Subin kedelitein al pikur shel surfei zahav. Right, so enough bran also to put on the tools of the gold refiner. Tanu Rabanan amotzi se'ar kedelegabel bo etatit. Right, enough hair in order to create clay. They would put hair in the clay to make it stronger. Tit lasot pikur shel tzorfei zahav, and enough clay in order to cover the opening of the gold refiner's tools. Seed kedei lasud, right? So enough lime to to put on the little of girls. So we don't have to ask what exactly that means. Tana kedei lasud etzba ketana shebebanot. So what we mean on the little is the littlest finger, right? Just enough to put the lime on the littlest finger of girls. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Banot Israel Shagin Lefirkon, Velohigiu Lishanim, Banot Anim Toflot Otan Besid, Banot Ashirot Toflot Otan Besoled, Banot Melachim Toflot Otan Beshemen Amor, Shenemar Shisha Chorashim Beshemen Amor. Right, so this was the practice of women who would start to develop signs of maturity and start to grow hair even before it was their time, before they'd reached 12, and so they wanted to hide their hair, so they would put different things on them to smoothen their skin and to clear off their hair. So poor girls would use lime, and richer girls would use fine flour, and the daughters of kings would use what's called Shemen Hamor that we see in Megillat Esther. My Shemen Hamor, what is Shemen Hamor? Rav Huna Barchia Amar Satkat, right? So that's a type of oil which was injected with all these spices in order to make it smell nice. Rav Yehuda Bar Abba Amar Shemen Zayit Shelo Yevi Ashlish, so that it was an olive oil taken from olives that were not even a third grown. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, on Piknon, Shemen Zayit Shelo Hivye Lishlish. Actually, on Piknon was something called, was made of Shemen, of olives that have not been a third grown, right? And not Shemen Amor. V'lama Sachinato, and why would they use it? Shemashir to say, Madin to Basara, right? Because it removes the hair and it makes the skin shine. Rav Bibi, Havya Le Barte, Tafla, Avar. Avar. So, Rav Bibi had a daughter, and he would put lime on her limb by limb. Shakal ba'arba mezuzei, right? And so and it made her so beautiful, really her skin glowed, that she was very, very heavily sought after, and someone basically offered him an exorbitant price in order for his daughter's hand in marriage. Hava hahu nachri b'shevavuta havile barta, right? So a certain neighbor of his in his community also had a daughter, and he did the same thing, tafla b'chad zimna, except he put all the lime on her entire body at once instead of doing it limb by limb. Umeita, and she passed away. Katal Rav Bibi Labarte, right? And that person said, Rav Bibi killed my daughter. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Bibi Deshate Shichra, Ba'ayan Bante Tafla, Anandalo Shatina Shichra, Lo Ba'ayan Bante Tafla, right? So Rav Nachman told him, your whole endeavor was pointless here. Rav Bibi drinks beer in his house, and because of that, that makes the hair dark and thick, and that's why he did it for his daughter, but we don't drink beer in our house, and there was no necessity for you to do that in the first place. It isn't Rav Bibi's fault. Rav Yehuda Omer Kedei Lasud Kilkul, right? So Rav Bibi said, it's enough to spread on a kilkul, right? And then Rav Nechemia said it was enough to smear on an andipi, right? So I kind of already translated those things when we went over the Mishnah, but we're now going to see how exactly we arrive at those translations. My kilkul, my andipi. What's kilkul and what's an andipi? Amar Rav Tzeida Ovad Tzeida, right? So one is the temple and one's the area right underneath the temple. The Memra, the Shi'ura, the Rebbe, Nafish, but that would imply that Rebbe Shir is greater, right? Because the area under the temple is bigger. Hakaimalan the Shiur the Rabbanan Nafish, but we hold that the Rabbanan Shir is greater than that of Rabbi Shir. So how do you understand that they were talking about the temple in the area under the temple? Azutu Medodaman of Nafish Rabbi Nechemia. Right? So no, it's actually to say that the Rabbi Yehuda's shir is actually smaller than the rabbi's. However, but it is bigger than Rabbi Nechemia's shir. Meitive Amar Rabbi near in divrei Yehuda bechavut veRabbi Nechemia beveitzar tzid. But we run into a little bit of an issue because we learned in a breita that Rabbi Yehuda's shita seems to be correct regarding something regarding dissolved lime, and Rabbi Nechemia's shita seems to be correct regarding a lump of lime. V'isal gadaitach tzeidat uvat tzeidat. And if you wanted to say that we're talking about a temple and the area underneath the temple, I divide you chavut. Right? Then you have a problem because both of those things are used with dissolved lime. Meaning what we seem to be implying with this breita is to suggest that what Rabbi Yehuda was rubbing whatever he was rubbing with dissolved lime, and Rabbi Nechemia was rubbing whatever he was rubbing with a lump of lime. However, both the temple and the area underneath the temple is with dissolved lime. So it's hard to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia are talking about the temple and the area underneath the temple if both those areas are used with dissolved lime, and yet we saw in a breita that they're actually using different types of things, right? So it doesn't seem to make sense. Rather, it must be that we're not actually talking about the temple and the area underneath the temple. Ela Amar Rav Yitzchak Amri Debe Rabbi Ami Andipa. What they're talking about here is a barrel with two faucets, and that's what we're talking about. They would put lime on there to seal them up. Matkifa Rav Kana v'chi Adam oseh me'otav an paron. But is someone so want with his money? Is someone so careless with his money that he's going to try to seal it up with lime? It's going to dissolve, and then he's going to lose all of his wine. Ela Amar Rav Kana shenatot kiditnan shenatot hayu bahin adkan lepar adkan le'ay. Rather, what was this thing? It was this measuring tool with marks in it that they would use in the measurement for the sake of the korbanot. They would measure the wine that they would need for each of the korbanot, and then they would mark the measurements with lime so that the measurements would shine, and you can see when you reach the measurements, and they had different markings for a bull or for a ram or for a sheep in order to know exactly how much wine you need to pour in. Alternatively, you could say what is an andipa that we spoke about? It's lime that's put on the forehead as opposed to the temples. We know that from the following story. There was a certain person of the Galil who came to Bavel and they said, "Come teach us about Masa Merkava." Right, Masa Merkava, you're not really allowed to talk about in public. It's like a very crazy mystical ideas in Torah that you're not supposed to teach to the masses. Amrulo Adrosh Lichu Kedar Rabbi Nechemia Lechavre. He says, "Okay, I'll teach you like Rabbi Nechemia taught his disciples." V'nafka ar ita minakotel umachde beandipe umet. Right, and then a hornet emerged from a wall, and it stung him in the forehead, and he died. Meaning the andipa is the forehead. V'amrule min delay dale. Right, meaning it's his own fault. He was going to teach Matzah Merkava in public, so he brought this upon himself. Okay, new Mishnah. Adama kechotem Hamartzufin, right? So enough earth. If you take out enough earth to seal up packages, you're going to be chayv. Rabbi Akiva, Chachamim omrim kechotem haigeret. So according to the Chachamim, it's enough to seal up letters. Zevel v'chol hadak. So a fertilizer and thin sand. Kedei latabel kelach shel karuv. Right? To fertilize a single stock of cabbage. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva shidu Chachamim omrim kedei latabel kerisha. Right? So enough for a leak. Chol hagas. What about thick sand? Kilatein al malo kafasid, right? So enough to fill an entire measurement of lime. Kana a reed, kidelasot kulmus, enough to make a pen. V'imhaya ave o merusas. So what if it was a very thick reed, or if it was a cracked reed that really you couldn't use for a pen? Kidelavasho bo peitza kalash v'beitzim, right? Just in order to cook a very, very lightly cooked egg. True from a tuna b'ilfas, right? When that egg has already been beaten and put in a pot, basically just a big enough shear in order to cook a very small egg. Ad male kafasid, right? So what exactly do we mean? Enough sand to fill a measurement of lime? What does sand have to do with lime? Tanak elitein alpi kaf shel sidon, right? So we mean To mix with plaster, right? So we mean enough sand to mix together with plaster. My Tana dechol mala lisid, right? And so which Tana thought that lime was good to mix with sand in order to make plaster? Amar Rav Chizda, Rav Yehudi. So Rav Yehudi Shita, who says that you mix sand with lime. The Tana in the Brayta lo yasud adam et beito besid ela imke and irbe bo teven ocho. So said a person should really not rub lime on his daughter unless he first mixed it with straw or with sand. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Teven Mutar Chol Aser. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to do that with straw, but you're not allowed to do that with sand. Bnei who Tarksid, right? Because it's very, very strong. In which case, that's why you would not be allowed to use it. Sorry, I misread that. Not Beto, Beto. Basically, after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, you weren't allowed to, you had to build your house in a less beautiful way, right? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you were not allowed to mix it with lime because the lime would make the walling of your house very, very nice, very beautiful. So Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to use that. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda is of the belief that, that the lime with the salt makes it very beautiful, and so that's exactly the so he's of the opinion that adding lime to sand is good for it. It makes it very nice. That's clearly Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rava Amar Afilu Tamei Rabbanan Kikulo Zelo Tikuno. Right. So even according to the Rabbanan. Even according to the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan also believe that it's a benefit to add the lime into the sand, so it also might be their shita. How could it be the case that they believe that it's a benefit to add lime to the sand when they allow you to build houses out of this after the Beit HaMikdash, right? So clearly that's bad for it. So yeah, it's bad for it, but because it's bad for it, you're allowed to build with it, right? So because you're allowed to build with it, that is its fixing it, meaning ruining it by putting the lime in, because yeah, putting lime in it ruins it, but that fixes it because that allows you to use it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's objectively nice because it's beautiful. According to the Rabbanan, it's just practically nice because now you're able to use it. And so either way, they both see the positive benefits in putting lime together with sand. Kana kede lasot kulmus, right? So enough a reed to create a pen. Tana kulmus amagia lekishre etzbeotav, right? So how big does that pen have to be? It has to reach the knuckles, basically the joints of the finger. By Rav Asher, Kishra Elyon, Kishra Tachton. Which knuckle are we talking about? We're talking about the knuckle that connects the finger to the hand, or the knuckle in the middle of the finger. Teku. So we're not sure. We're going to let that question remain unresolved.